Would you bow your hearts with me as we pray? Blessed Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for Father, Son, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. We thank you for the work that you are doing in and among us. But we do pray for clean hearts. We pray with the psalmist, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. And so we just pray, dear Holy Spirit, that you would blow upon us as we've just been singing about, and to cleanse us, to purify us, and to free us, that we would be the people that you have created us to be. We pray, Lord, that in this day and in this week of holiness emphasis, that there would be a renewal and a new commitment to opening our hearts to allowing you to do the work that you want to do. We invite you to come, Holy Spirit, and to be with us and among us, and we thank you that you are indwelling. We pray your hand, your anointing hand, upon Dr. Vic Hamilton as he leads us in our messages this week. We just pray, Lord, that your message would flow forth through him and in him, that you would speak the words that you would desire to be spoken, those things that you know that we need to hear. And so prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive the messages of this week. And we pray these things in your holy name. Amen. Well, we've just come off of a super weekend. Yesterday, with Super Bowl Sunday, it's always interesting to watch the 30-second commercials that cost $1 million for each commercial, and it's hard for us to imagine 30 seconds generating $1 million worth of revenue. We also had a super weekend, a super Friday. Our basketball team, our guys' team, had some great records that were set on Friday. But today is Super Monday. It's Super Monday because we are not having to pay $1 million for a 30-second time. In fact, the message of this week and the ongoing message that we want to be living out in our hearts is that what we have available to us cannot be purchased with gold or silver. The price has already been paid by our dear Jesus and his shedding of his blood. And so this week, with Holiness Emphasis Week, is a time in which we want to be very intentional and focused upon what it means to live and walk in the spirit and the image of Jesus, to truly live and walk with a clean heart and clean hands. And we cannot do this on our own. That's why Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to live within us, to walk within us, that we might walk in peace and joy and freedom and in purity. And so I pray that you would open yourselves to a deeper reality of the working of the Holy Spirit within your heart and in your life as we are challenged this week in our Holiness Emphasis Week. This is the third emphasis week, spiritual emphasis week that we have during an academic year. We have Fall Revival, and then we have the Great Commission Congress, and then this third one, which is Holiness Emphasis. And we've been doing this historically at Asbury, and so it's very important to who we are. Our speaker today does not need an introduction for most of you. For you freshmen, many of you may not know Dr. Vic Hamilton, and that is to your loss if you have not met him. He was on faculty in our Bible, Theology, and Philosophy department. He was on faculty for 36 years, was a frequent and regular speaker in chapel. In fact, as we were sitting together this morning, he told me that he's spoken some 90 times in chapel, and with the messages he has this week, it will put him over the 100 mark. So this truly is Super Monday, Super Week. Dr. Victor Hamilton holds a PhD and an MA from Brandeis University. He also has a degree from Asbury Theological Seminary, and his undergraduate BA degree is from Houghton College. His special area of emphasis is the Pentateuch, which are the five books of the Old Testament. You will also discover, as you read the bio about him, that he has written several books, and he also has produced a translation in the New Living Translation of the Bible. He's married to Shirley Hamilton, and they have four children and several grandchildren. And so we are so honored to have him with us this week. I would encourage you to be participating in all of the services this week. Each evening there will be a 6:30 service where Dr. Hamilton will be sharing from his heart. And there's a 6 o'clock prayer time that you can pray and join in prayer that the Holy Spirit would truly come and move among us during this week. And so you will not want to miss a chapel. You will not want to miss any of our evening services as we open our heart to the Lord and to anticipate and to be expectant this week for what God wants to do, not only in your heart and in my heart, but what he wants to do among us corporately. So would you join me in welcoming Dr. Vic Hamilton?
Thank you. I hope you will get to know the words of that song that we sang, Rushing Wind. How many of you are familiar with it? 3. Well, it's relatively new. It was written just a few years ago by the late Keith Green, which means it's a much more recent song than the one we started with, Undignified, which was written by Charles Wesley. That was a joke. Some of you may remember, if you've been here a year or 2 or 3 years, that one day in chapel I spoke on that passage from the life of David, from which that song Undignified comes. It's the story where David brought the ark into Jerusalem. He was dancing with all of his might before the Lord. Do any of you remember my topic that day? It was on Uzzah died, but David danced. And at the end of the chapel, I asked John Roller if we could sing Undignified. I made sure I had tenure before I asked if we could sing that song in chapel. Well, it is good to be back. I wouldn't quite call it the second coming. But everything looks about the same, feels the same, and smells the same. However, I want to say a special greeting to those of you up there in freshman land. I'm Vic, and I'm glad to meet you. I am reminded a few years ago when I was the chair of the chapel, I was almost always on the platform, if not speaking, introducing the speaker of the day. And I couldn't help but notice that there was a young man in this section here who, regardless of what the chapel was about, sat there with a big smile on his face, looking up at you. Somebody up there, regardless, the entire chapel. Well, I got curious about halfway through this. Well, we would have been on the quarters then. I asked him, I got curious about halfway. I said, why? And I knew him. I said, I'm curious. I can't help but miss that, that all the way through chapel, you sit there with a beatific smile on your face, looking up at freshman land. Well, it turned out that he had a special person up there. And then he looked at me and he said, "Dr. Hamilton, are you aware that what I was doing was scriptural?" I said, "It's not scriptural." He said, "Oh, yes, it was scriptural. Did not Paul say in Colossians 3:1, set your affections on things above?" And then he said, "And do you remember that in the next verse, in case you missed it, Paul said it again, set your affections on things above." So I want to express my thanks to those who will be helping me this week at the back. We're going to put a few things on the overhead. I had planned to do a cutting-edge technology presentation myself, but couldn't find any chalk. And I want to thank Stu Smith and the administration and anybody else who is responsible for moving Holiness Emphasis Week up from the week in late March right after spring break. I lobbied for that change vociferously. Whether that had anything to do with it or not, I do not know. But I didn't think it was a good idea having one HEW right on the heels of another HEW. That is to say, Holiness Emphasis Week following Happiness Emphasis Week. And so I am grateful for this privilege to be with you. Just one minor change in the bio. It says Shirley and I have several grandchildren. The number is 12. Thank you, grandchildren. And I know that she would be interested in really being here today if she could, but just as a kind of curio, I share with you the fact that my mother, who lives back in Toronto, Canada, today is her 98th birthday. And so I know she's praying for us and for her son. Well, I want to direct your attention this morning to a familiar psalm, Psalm 51. And I would like to read from you out of the NIV the first 12 verses and then focus on one line of one of those 12 verses for our thinking this morning. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure or clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Well, out of those 12 verses, I want to just lift out the first half of verse 10, where David says this: create in me a clean heart. Create in me a pure heart, O God. And I want to talk to you this opening time for Holiness Emphasis Week on the subject of praying for a clean and pure heart. And basically, what I'd like to share with you this morning is five reasons why I consider such a prayer to be an absolutely terrific prayer. And so I shall just in turn run you through those five reasons why I think it is such a revolutionary kind of prayer. And then I will conclude with a couple of questions or ideas for reflection. So here's the first. I think such a prayer is a great prayer because it is a prayer for something that only God can do and pull off. David, on this occasion, asked God to create. You're familiar with this word from the fourth or fifth word in our Bible. In the beginning, God created. Actually, the second word, if you're reading it in the original. Now, I'm going to assume this morning that David could have said, make my heart pure. And I don't think all that much would have been lost. Or David could have used any number of verbs. But the very fact that he used the word create for what he wanted God to do. And by the way, the only time in all of the remaining 149 Psalms where in a prayer to God, somebody asked God to create something. You won't find it out of this 51st Psalm. Now, what makes the word create so special at this particular point? Well, wherever this word is used in the Bible, it is always used with God or the Lord as the subject. It is exclusively a divine verb, an Elohim verb, a Yahweh verb. And that's perhaps one of the reasons why Genesis 1 begins this way. And therefore, I was intrigued to check out Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of scripture that you and I know is the Message. And here's how he rendered, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. So it's a prayer for something to happen to me that only the Lord God Himself, as Creator, is able to do. That's one reason why I think it's such a great prayer. And that leads me to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that Holiness Emphasis Week is not so much about what we want to do for God, but it's all about what God wants to do for us. For you and for me. So that's one reason why I think this is a great prayer. Here's a second reason why I think this is a great prayer. It is a prayer that the Lord God will give us a certain kind of heart. That if He gives it to us, will make it possible for you and I to have all the other good kinds of hearts that the Bible talks about. Valentine's Day is coming, isn't it? For many, many years, but not the last few years, I was always asked to speak on the chapel that fell on Valentine's Day, or closest to Valentine's Day. And for about 10 years in a row, I spoke on Valentine's Day out of the Song of Solomon. Not quite sure who slipped that into the Bible, but it's there. I think maybe my most memorable chapel is on one Valentine's chapel when I spoke on a verse out of the chapter 1 where he says about her, "I compare you, my love, to a mare harnessed to one of Pharaoh's chariots." Now, probably not as well known as John 3:16. But Stu Smith can tell you about that chapel. Well, have you ever thought about all the kinds of hearts the Bible, let's call them God's electrocardiogram. Now, to be sure, there's some hearts that you don't want to think about any time, either next week or any time, like a hardened heart. Don't let your hearts become hard. You don't want that kind of a heart. But let me remind you of some good hearts in the Bible, which I think are the inevitable byproduct and outflow of God giving you and me the kind of heart that David prayed for. For instance, there is a trusting heart. Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. There is the loving heart. What is the great commandment? Jesus was asked. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. One of my favorites, but probably not as well known as either the two I've already given you, is what the scripture calls a heart that is steadfast and fixed. In Psalm 57, David says to God, "My heart is steadfast. My heart is fixed, O Lord." What a beautiful kind of heart to have. You know, there's an old hymn that we sing. I think it goes by the title, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Are you familiar with that one? And there's a part in it that continues to give me a little bit of a problem. Think on this side, people, of a heart that is fixed, steadfast. And in one of the stanzas of that song, there is at least a part that goes something like this. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Remember that part? And there may be times when you and I are there. But I remember speaking at a men's retreat several years ago. And I brought up the words of that song to them and said, how would you feel about singing that part of the song to your wife? Prone to wander, sweetie, I feel it. Prone to leave the wife I love. Well, if you sing it, don't use it as an act of worship. The scripture says we can have a fixed and a steadfast heart. Or there's an undivided heart. Psalm 86, again, the psalmist prays, oh God, give me an undivided heart so that I may fear your name. And Ezekiel the prophet in chapter 36 says that God wants to give all of us a new heart. And Paul says in Romans 10 that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe with our hearts, a believing heart. And then here's a real good kind of heartburn. Luke 24, those two disciples says, didn't our hearts actually begin to burn as Jesus opened up the scriptures to us? And I want to suggest to you this morning that if God will answer that prayer for me that David prayed in Psalm 51, then that opens the door to God giving me the other kinds of hearts that he wants me to have. Here's a third reason why I think this is such a great prayer. It is a great prayer because it is a prayer that opens up other parts of who I am for God to begin to work on. Now, I looked at that sentence and I said to myself, I'm well aware that it contains a grammatical mistake. You and I know that a preposition is not a good thing to end a sentence with. As a matter of fact, I remember hearing the story of a Saturday afternoon Division I fall football game. Young collegian sitting next to an older, well-dressed gentleman whom he did not recognize. And he turned to the gentleman and said, where are you from? And the guy paused and he said, well, I'm from a place where we know enough not to end a sentence with a preposition. The student was quiet, looked at the guy and said, well, let me try again. Where are you from, jerk? So, and I know, Tom, you mentioned in Brown Bag last week about ending sentences with prepositions. So, pardonnez-moi, s'il vous plaît. That's all this French, Spanish I know. Yes, If God answers the longing of my prayer at this point, then I believe it will open up the rest of who I am for God to begin to work in those areas. This becomes the door that lets the Holy Spirit enter into your life. And that's why I think David goes on to pray in the next verse. And the order, first create in me a clean heart. Secondly, and renew a right kind of spirit within me. You see, because you cannot ask God to give you a clean heart and be in any shape or form a mean-spirited person. No. When God comes in through this door, then it opens up other areas of our being to the work of His Spirit. Number four. I think this particular prayer is a great prayer, because it is a prayer which, if God answers, will open my life up to the intimacy of His real and precious presence. And that explains to me why, after David said, one, create in me a clean heart. Number two, renew a spirit that is upright. Then he went on to say in Psalm 51, and don't cast me away from your presence. God likes being around lives that are like His life. But then we have verses like this. I wonder what Jesus meant in the Sermon on the Mount when He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Or Hebrews chapter 12. What does this mean? Without holiness, nobody shall see the Lord. Or why does the book of Revelation call heaven a holy city? Heaven is the quintessential reality of a holy place. There's something about individuals whose lives are falling along those lines that God finds Himself attracted to. Finally, number five. I think this is a great prayer because it is a prayer that deals not only with symptoms, but it deals with causes. If you are suffering some kind of a debilitating disease, an aspirin may help momentarily with some of the symptoms. But more than likely, it will not get to the root of the problem. Did you notice throughout this psalm, David never uses the one word that he asked that I would expect? I would have used it, and David doesn't use it once. You would think at some point that David would say, forgive me. Elsewhere he does. No, he uses words like, wash me. He uses words like, blot out. Are you aware of the basic difference between seeking God's forgiveness and seeking God's cleansing? In a nutshell, this is not on the overhead, I would describe it as follows. Forgiveness has to do with the results of sin. Cleansing has to do with the cause of sin. Not just what I've done, but who I am. So in conclusion, three thoughts or questions. First, a thought. Our sin and our circumstances need not be nearly as egregious as that of David in order to pray such a prayer. I mean, he had hit bottom, hadn't he? He had sex with one of his soldier's wife while his soldier was out putting on his life on the line for David, and then turned out to be an accessory to his murder. Now, if the only kind of people who need to pray that prayer are people who are traveling down that road, then I would think that most of us would be excluded. Don't you think so? And that's why I say I do not think our sin need be nearly as, I like this word, egregious. It's a good word, isn't it? As serious, as destructive, as blasphemous, in order to pray this prayer. Number two, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think God is attracted to such a prayer? I think there are some prayers to which God is not attracted. I think there are some prayers that God finds obnoxious. I'll give you two illustrations. Illustration number one, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not as bad as other people on this campus. Remember that? Luke 18, he wasn't talking about Asbury. But remember that guy Jesus talked about? He went up into the temple and he prayed with himself. That's interesting. He certainly wasn't praying to God. He must have been praying with himself. He said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Or maybe this one. Lord, create in me a clean heart. But not quite yet. And finally, if you need to pray such a prayer right now, even before you leave this place, do you really think this morning that God not only desires to answer that kind of a prayer, but he is able to answer that prayer and has the resources to answer that prayer for you and for me? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? And I'd like to end our chapel this morning by asking you to stand, and we'll sing a cappella. Create in me a clean heart, O God. I miss doing that with my students. You can pray that prayer this morning at these altars in your seat. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The joy of
nation.